My next guest is Colin Hattersley, who is a linguist carrying out a research and producing a dictionary based on the rural language in Papua New Guinea's central province. Colin joins us in the studio. Welcome, Colin, to Women's Profile.
Thank you, Maureen.
So firstly, how is the project coming up?
Well, the project is coming quite well, thank you. We've had quite a few challenges, and one of the biggest ones is the fact that we're working in two countries. We're working between Papua New Guinea and Brisbane, Australia. So that's a challenge in itself. And we've also had to, from both sides, we have a very steep learning curve. So we have myself trying to learn how to work with the people, the Roro people in Papua New Guinea, mostly from Hisiu village, and then the people who are the consultants on the language, looking at their language in a different way, things that they take for granted and they just say, when I suddenly say, well, what's the component of that language, it sort of opens a lot of doors for them to say, oh, that's what we mean when we say that. But also they're learning the computer program as well. So we're really at a good point at the moment. I have people who are competent with the computer program, and we sort of work over telephone because the network is so poor that we can't even use Skype. It doesn't work on the other end. It works in Australia, but not between the two countries.
Yeah, I was going to ask how the computer is going, because it's modern technology and you're concentrated in the rural area.
Yep. That's right. It is a big challenge. So I go there two or three times a year for about 6 weeks, which works well. But it's also good to have the consultants come to Australia, because when they come to Australia, they live at my house and I tell them I have a whip behind the door, and we work hard day in, day out, and we don't have the distractions that are there when we're in Papua New Guinea. As much as I enjoy the distractions, they do take us away from what we're trying to do.
So when did you start doing the research or the program, the project?
Oh, it goes back a long time, Maureen. I was a teacher in Papua New Guinea last century, back in the 1960s, and that's when I became interested in this particular language. Sort of life went on, and eventually I was given, when I come back into Australia, I was given a copy of one of the early dictionaries that was compiled by one of the missionaries of the Sacred Heart, who was a French speaker. The MSC are French missionaries. And this particular missionary, who put nearly 10,000 words together, and he expressed it in French. But his first language was actually Italian, and sometimes he wrestled with French. So we have a language there that we call Fritalian, that the definitions are actually written in. So one of my tasks is, apart from getting it into a modern computer program that can be manipulated and become user-friendly, we have to actually negotiate what he thought some of those words were. And so I have a network of French speakers, including my sister, who has other French people. So questions end up going back to France to say, look, what does he mean by this? You know, because, of course, some words are not used anymore. The culture, the surrounding culture has changed. It's not necessary to use some words anymore, and some just don't apply to daily life. And then there are other influences coming into the language as well. So there's quite a few words that, oh, we don't use that anymore. Oh, really? Is that what you say? You know? So it's just, I don't know, it's an amazing experience for all of us involved.
So why did you pick the rural language out of 842 different languages in Papua New Guinea?
You've got 854, did you say?
42.
42, okay. The number changes. Because the people that I met back in 1965 were Roro speakers. And back then, I did a swap. There was one person was a radio announcer, and he wanted help with his following day's program and evening out his accent, so we did a swap. He read his program to me, and then I got him to teach me phrases in the language and songs, and that's when it started. Yep.
So do you work closely with the Ukarum Pasam of Linguistic in Goroka in the highlands of Papua New Guinea? Or?
No, not really. I know that they have done a, what's termed a Bible, it's the four Gospels in the language. They were based at Waima, the village of Waima, to do that. And it took about 10 years. And the couple who did that are Korean people, and I have met them. But they didn't refer back to the work that I'm referring to. The work that I'm making available to the people is pretty much first contact information. So it's the language that was in use before the European influence took over, basically.
Okay, and was it hard getting records or going through records or extract the use of language used by missionaries before?
Well, this particular work, or the records from the Catholic Mission at Barena, have been digitised some years ago and are available at the National Library in Australia, in Canberra. And the paper that I was, or the series of books that I was given, are actually there. So that's what I started working on. But last year, I was in Papua New Guinea, and with my the two language consultants that I was working with, we made an appointment and went to the Catholic Mission to get permission to use their material for this project. And permission was granted. And they were very happy for us to use this. And the material is being archived, and there are just so many things there, so many resources, all written in French. There are grammars. There's a grammar that was written in 1907, and my sister just translated that for me. So that will feed into the front matter in the dictionary that we are hoping to produce by next year.
We shall now pause for a break, and when we come back, you can explain what the name of that song is and who sang the song.
All right.
Welcome back to Women's Profile. I am speaking to a linguist, Colleen Hattersley, who's carrying out a research and producing a dictionary based on the rural language in Papua New Guinea Central Province. Colleen, how did you go about doing the language project?
Okay, well, we have the original documentation that initially I enter it into the computer program, and then I send it by email to two consultants in Papua New Guinea who check the spelling. The original work was fairly thoroughly done and has sample sentences. They check the sample sentences, the grammar, the accuracy of the meanings, and they send all that back to me, and then I make sure that it's the English is correct, so I put it into good English. Because they translated as well as fixing up the grammar. And so we sort of tic-tac that way. Then they record voice record the sentences so that people can hear natural language and how it should sound. If possible, they take a photograph of whatever that entry is. If it's an action, then we can actually include video into the program so that we are making an interactive dictionary that can be used on a computer, or it can be exported and made as a printed book, because obviously not too many people have computers. But you asked about the Summer Institute of Linguistics, Maureen. I don't work with the Yukurumba people, but the program we use is a program that's created by the Summer Institute of Linguistics. And they have also created a program to make an app for phones that interacts with the dictionary program we use. So we hope that we will be able to make it available for Android phones.
Just before we went on to that question, I was going to ask you what the meaning of the song Vihiu Poe was, and was it, who was, it's an old song, isn't it?
Yes, it's an old song that was about a girl, like a love song, I guess, and it's been changed in that version to be singing about the beach at Hisu. Hisu Beach is very emotionally attached to the beach and to the place. And the actual song I had for the last month, there were two consultants from the area in Australia, and we were doing all sorts of things. And just before one of them left, I said, look, I need a bit of audio to go behind some videos. What can you do for me? So they just started singing that. So I recorded it at home, and there it was. So it's not something that was professionally recorded. It was just in the basement, and there you go. Quite spontaneous. So I really love it. And to me, it sort of speaks about home and what, how you can hear things, you know, you can just hear the singing in the night. So, yeah.
Is this a personal ambition, a personal goal to complete the dictionary?
Oh, you bet. We were talking about love. I think I can probably say this is a labour of love. This is because the people I met way back when I was a young woman in Port Moresby were so open and welcoming and just generous to me. This is one thing that I figure I can do to return that in some way. Going back there in 2013 was the first time I'd been back for a long time. It was like I'd been there yesterday, you know. I was just totally welcome back into family. And so, yes, it is a personal ambition. I've left a little bit late to do it, you know. I went to university at the age of 50 to study linguistics so that I could do this, basically. I had two reasons for going to university. One was this, and the other one was because an Aboriginal woman in Derby, Western Australia, asked me if I would help her put down her story. And I figured that just being able to speak English and type wasn't quite enough. So I went to university and studied linguistics and anthropology and a few other units, and then went and did Lucy's story, worked on her language, produced a dictionary of that language, and now I'm doing this one.
How long did it take you to do the Lucy's story?
Oh, I spent about 6, 7, 8 months with her recording. I recorded 36 tapes, 90-minute tapes, and every day I went to her place, and I never knew from one day to the next what the agenda was going to be. So some days it was sitting down talking about things, other days it was going to the court or interacting with government or whatever we had to do to keep things going. Sometimes we sat down at her community in the night time and just talked through all sorts of issues, and with other people as well. So then I went back. I got a grant from IATSIS to transcribe all of that, but I couldn't do it in Canberra. I just could not physically transcribe all of that information. I had to be on country to do it, so I drove back. That was the first time I drove across the country. I drove from Canberra to Derby, Western Australia. It took me 7 days to drive. and I stayed there for a whole year and transcribed. So to do Lucy's book probably took about 3 years, if we, you know, counted in time like that. Yeah. And we self-published.
So what do you have to do now here with the Rural Dictionary?
Okay, we probably have about 1,500 entries that we're happy with that have been filtered and edited. We're trying to get to about 3,000 or 4,000 by the end of this year, if we can. And then we've made a commitment to have our first edition published by October next year. And there's a reason for that. There's going to be a celebration in Papua New Guinea in this area in October next year. The University of Papua New Guinea Bookshop has offered to publish for us and possibly to design and lay it out. I'm not quite sure. Have to have that meeting with them when I go back next time. So we have a lot of support, in-kind support, but we need some other support to compensate the workers for the time that they're not doing their subsistence living, you know, fishing and gardening and all of those things.
We shall now go for a break. Do you want to explain what this song, View Poem, means?
Oh, all right, this one. Oh, and I should have said that the other song was sung by Parukama Ikupu and Ikupu Paru. This one is composed by Parukama Ikupu, and it's again about Hisiu Beach, and he's reflecting on the water, the movement of the water, and that this is our birthplace, and doesn't matter where we go, what we do, this is where we will come back to. So it's again a fairly nostalgic sort of song about Hisiu Beach.
I am talking to Colin Hatsley, a linguistic carrying out a research and producing a dictionary based on the Rural Language in Hisiu. You want to say whom you've been working with?
I do. I want to acknowledge the contributions from Yukupu Paru, from Freddie Ovia and his brother Joseph Ovia in particular, but also Thomas Momo and Georgia Kalma and Anna Unipinu. Without their assistance and their cooperation, we wouldn't be getting as far as we are.
I'm just interested, like, there's a lot of rural villages. Have you gone and visited other villages, or are you just concentrating on Hisiu?
At the moment, we have to get the original information into a workable format. So we're working mainly with one group of people. There are three dialects. We have to recognise those dialects in the work, but we will do that eventually once we've sorted out the first layer of information.
So what now for the future?
Well, we just have to put our heads down and make it happen, get the information sorted by the end of the year so that we can go on with that publishing process and have the first edition out there, and then hopefully people will look at it and give us feedback. And it doesn't matter if they like it or they hate it, as long as they tell us why, you know. And so there's nothing negative. There's no negative feedback. Anything they want to say about it, that will be taken on board and we will consider it and figure it out. But it will be not all of the information. As I said, it might be 2,000 or 3,000 words. We've got about 10,000, and that's the old language. That's not taking the modern language into account.
Well, thank you very much, Colin Hattersley, for talking to us. You had Colin Hattersley, who is a linguistic. Sorry for my pronunciation, Colin. And thank you very much for being our guest today, Colin.
Thank you, Maureen. Komiyaho horai.
Oh, it was a beautiful story of love. I loved that.
Yes.
Passion and love and giving back to what you had before and give it back to the people.
I'm really jealous, so I'll try and get her to come and do the dictionary on the Mekeo side as well. Yeah. And she did come in with moral support from Abia.
Yeah, she's in the studio, a little bit shy, but she's here.
So the next time we'll interview her when the big book is done. With that, thank you very much for being our guest today, and thank you for listening. I'm Maureen Mopio saying have a pleasant afternoon.
Yeah, and Mia, we wish you everyone a very good weekend. We'll finish with Mane singing Ashes to the River. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.